Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you notice, the name of my sermon today is the Easter Rite of Holy Baptism. Indeed. He is risen. Oh, come on, you can do better now. He is risen. What a glorious day for this celebration, isn't it? The weather is beautiful, the sun is shining, it's cool. It's pretty good. You know, in the ancient church, with the focus on this day was not just the resurrection, but it was also on the baptism of new believers who joined the family of Jesus Christ. And we have a cake made up for Alex with a cross on it. It says, Alex, welcome to the family. And also, Alex made a cake that is a bunny cake, because you made that one, didn't you? Okay, and if you've been here the last few weeks, his cakes are pretty darn good. So I urge you to try both. But why this day? Why is this day so important, not only for the resurrection, but for baptism? All right, take your hymnals. You're going to be in school today. Open it up to page 121. And we are going to look at this rite of holy baptism before we do it today. All right, I'm going to read some of this introductory prayer. It's on page 121 right there at the top. In holy baptism, our gracious Heavenly Father liberates us from sin and death by joining us to the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You think that might have something to do with Easter? We are born children of a fallen humanity. We know that. In the waters of baptism, we are reborn. You know, the Bible says you must be born again. We believe it happens during baptism. So we are reborn, children of God and inheritors of eternal life. An inheritor. Well, what is an inheritance? It's a gift from your father or mother, usually, isn't it? So we're inheritors of a gift of our eternal Father. That's pretty heavy, isn't it? By the water and the Holy Spirit, we are made members of the church, which is the body of Christ, and we live with him and with his people. We grow in faith, love, and obedience to the will of God. My friends, this is not a Lutheran prayer. It's not even a Lutheran explanation. This introduction to holy baptism comes from the second century and has been used in the church for 1800 years. You know, Bev and I talked yesterday, why do we put the stress on Lutheran? Because we're Christian. And so when we look at something like this, that Christian introductory prayer, you got a message from God? Okay, now let's go to the next page and let's look at the bottom. It's right after it says it is right to give him thanks and praise. It's that long prayer that's down there. We call this Luther's flood prayer. Now, it begins with Genesis 1 verse 4 with the creation and Trinity as the part of our faith and his gift of water for us. Okay, let's go to the second paragraph there. Well, we'll start right at the beginning. Holy God, mighty Lord, gracious Father, we give you thanks for in the beginning, your spirit moved over the waters and you created heaven and earth. By the gift of water, you nourish and sustain us in all living things. Folks, remember Genesis 1 verse 4, and God sent his spirit out over the waters. When we look at that, we realize that God is God the Father, and God the Spirit, and God the Son. The Trinity is in the first part of the Bible. As I was studying for this, I thought, how do I approach this? And I got to thinking, you know, when we were at the seminary, we had a long class on baptism, all taught in Greek. So I went and looked. And what they used was the Gospel of John for this. And we're going to be looking at two main points from chapter 4. First of all, the gift of living water, and also it's called the water of life. And it went in and talked about in that fourth chapter of John where we drink from the well of Jacob, where we never thirst again. All right, now wait a second. We drink from the well of Jacob. I mean, Jacob's got a well that we got to go put a water stick in? No. If you remember, Jesus is descended through Jacob. So when we talk about the well of Jacob, we're talking about Jesus. Now let's talk about what's in John 7, verse 38. And if all of this, again, it was taught in Greek, so I did my own translation. And in Greek, it says in English, through faith in me. Through faith in me. That's not our faith, that's the faith that he has in us. It is good to see it written, rivers flow out of his belly, and that's out of Jesus' belly, will flow the living waters, for with the Spirit through our faith, which flows from the Spirit, and who has not yet been glorified. All right, so what does it mean when it says not yet been glorified? He hasn't been crucified and he hasn't risen. But yet, the living water is there before that happens, isn't it? In the Bible? Okay, I'll be quiet. You got me going in circles. There, now we're tight. You know, I think that's why John 1, verse 4, it starts with the conclusion that the living water is the Spirit who was given by Jesus and who joins us to Jesus. Remember in the Creed we say, and who proceeds from the Father and the Son, and who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, right? Don't we say that? Who are we talking about? The Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the living water who is given by Jesus and who joins us to Jesus. But Jesus is the source of that living water. And so after his glorious resurrection, today, it ties all of this together. Now, go down to that long paragraph again that we were just in. Go to the third line at the end where it says in the waters. In the waters of the Jordan, your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Spirit. Remember, Jesus had to go through baptism just like we do. And what happens when he's baptized? The Spirit of God comes down like a dove. And the voice comes out and said, this is my son, beloved son, with whom I'm well pleased. So, by the baptism of his own death and resurrection, your beloved Son has set us free from the bondage to sin and death, and has opened the way to the joy and freedom of everlasting life. He made water a sign of the kingdom and of cleansing and rebirth. Where'd that come from? That's the flood. He cleansed the earth. And in obedience to his command, we make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now let me ask you this. When we look at the Great Commission, does it say, and pastors baptize? Does it say, priests baptize? Go ye, therefore, in the King James, and baptize all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Go ye. All y'all. Not just y'all, but all y'all, the plural. I spent too many years in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. But an inheritor is someone who receives a gift from his father, and that inheritance is stressed in the Bible. You know, don't words have power? You know, if you're hurtful to somebody, don't those words have power? They're not just words. But when God promises us through his Son Jesus and the gift of the Holy Spirit, words have power, and the Word of God is the most powerful group of words we can hear. Let us be glad and rejoice in them. So, Alex, what a wonderful gift for you to be baptized today. Because this goes back to the early church. But my friends, that gift is not just for Alex, but for all of us who are inheritors of this wonderful gift of eternal life from our Father. Hallelujah and amen. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.